about the kings. And we talked about what many refer to as the kingmaker, Samuel. And then we talked about the first king of Israel, Saul. The people's king is what he is referred to as. And then we began to talk about David. And we talked about three aspects of David's life. You may remember we talked about those waiting years and how important they were and even are. As I look out across the congregation and see many youthful faces, I want to remind you that you're not where God wants you to be. Now, you may be, but you're not where God wants you to finish. God has a work for you. Now, he may be using you where you are, just as he was using David in the place where he was, but God had greater things in store for David. And I want to assure you that God has greater things in store for you as well. And so don't you ever underestimate what God's power and what God's will and purpose for your life can bring forth. David, 18 years, was formidable and God was working in his life, and we looked at those, and then he made that transition from the waiting years to the working years. And in those working years, he faced a lot of trials and he faced a lot of adversity. And had he not been in time of preparation in those waiting years, he may have fainted. And so in these years where you you seem like, we know there's not a lot going on and God's not using me the way I desire to be used, it may be that God's preparing you for how he desires to use you. So don't take that as God's denial, that God's saying no to you. Just take it as God is saying, not yet. I'm preparing you because I know what lies ahead for you. And David did that, and in those working years, he spent a lot of his time in caves, running. I count, now you can go behind me if you choose, and you may come up with a different number. I count 24 times where Saul attempted to take the life of David during that time period. And it was just trial after trial. And during that time, from the waiting years to the working years, during that time of working years, David wrote many psalms. And as we talked about last week, they were written from different places. Some of them were written in caves. Some of them were written in a horrible pit. Some of them were written in a pavilion. Some in the hiding place. Tonight, we're going to look at one of those psalms, and it was written in a stormy place. Now, I don't mean literally. I mean figuratively speaking, in David's life, he was encountering a lot of storms. I mean, there was so much, a lot of heartache in his life and a lot going on, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But as David's life went from waiting years to working years, they kind of phased out in what we call waning years. But I want to talk about the waiting years, and I want to talk to you about something. One of the things that I enjoy doing is I enjoy reading through those historical books, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, of the lives of the kings and the rulers in Israel and how God dealt with them and chronicled their leadership abilities and chronicled their acts in Judah and Israel and the northern and southern kingdoms. It gives us an outward view. This is what happened from the outside. You read through 1 and 2 Samuel about David, and a lot of it's outside. You see what he'd done. You see how he approached it. You've seen him from the outside looking in. But when you turn to the Psalms and you begin to read about his experiences during those times, you get to get on the inside. You see? You get to get inside of a man's heart. The Psalms are experiential. They're Psalms of experience. And David is talking about the emotion, the things that he was feeling, the things that he was going through in his being, in his soul, when he was going through these times, when Saul was chasing him. We get to read in Samuel the historical, but in the Psalms we get to read the experiential, the emotional. From Samuel we kind of get an overview and we get to look from the outside looking in, but in the Psalms we get on the inside where David is sitting in a cave, where David is sitting in a field, where David is sitting in a place of isolation and he feels all alone and he's needing God to do something in his life. You know, many of us have been where David has been, experientially speaking. Now, I've never had to hide in a cave. I've never had to run because someone was pursuing my life. They were out to kill me and to take my life, to snuff my life or my family out. But I have had times where I wanted just to be alone. I've had times where I felt weary and tired. I've had times when I prayed and I wondered, God, where are you? God, I need you. I've had times in my life where I just felt like, God, if you don't do something, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go on. And I believe that you have too. If you've been saved for any length of time, there's been times in your life where these Psalms, when you read through them, they're just so helpful. They're so helpful. I said last week, we come in and we pick up a hymn book, and oftentimes we don't even think about it, and we just turn and sing a hymn. See, the Psalms were Jewish hymn. The Psalms is like a Jewish hymn book. And God used these Psalms for people to sing of their experiences. They told of their experiences, and as people sang of them, it helped them to relate. And so tonight, I hope that we can relate. Where did David write this psalm from? This psalm is called a treachery psalm. Now listen to me. There's, a half a dozen or more treachery psalms. Psalm 52, Psalm 54, Psalm 55. And there's psalms where David was going through just times of treachery. The background of this psalm is Absalom, David's son, had rebelled against David. And he had built and caused an insurrection. And he had seized the kingdom, the throne, from David for a period of time through deceit and rebellion. And David was broken. When you read this, you can just read where, look at verse number 4. He said, my heart is sore pained. You see that in verse 4? Psalm 55, verse 4. He said, my heart is sore pained within me. I tell you, it's something to have a child that would raise his hand against his own father. And here David experienced that. And perhaps I'm speaking to someone here tonight. Your child or your children have raised their hand against you. And you wonder, why would this happen and what can I do? Well, here's a man who knows how you feel. And God has chosen to put it in the form of psalm. In the form of an emotional experience that you can relate to. And God's going to tell you how to get some help. Not only though, now listen to me, not only had his son caused an insurrection and rebelled against him, his best friend and counselor, look at what he said, if you would, in verse number 12. He said, now this is, he's speaking of Ahithophel. In verse number 12, see, Ahithophel was the counselor of David. And he gave David counsel as he was the leader and the king of Israel. And Ahithophel had betrayed David and had gone over and now was working with Absalom in the rebellion against David and was given double-minded counsel to set David up and to allow Absalom to be successful in his insurrection of the kingdom. And notice what David said. Now, I'm trying to get you to see the hurt in this man's heart. Look in verse number 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and my acquaintance. My guide is my counselor. Ahithophel was David's counselor. Look at verse number 12. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Man, then do you see the brokenness and the hurt in this man? He's been betrayed by a friend. If you've never been betrayed by a friend, you don't know. You wouldn't be able to fully grasp the magnitude of what we just read in the Word of God. But some of you have. And you understand. When a friend, a family member, when someone that speaks to you, look at what David said over in verse number 21. It says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. David said, I can't believe that I didn't see through his plot and his ploy. You see this? He's hurt. He's broken. His son, his own flesh and blood, has rose up against him. His best friend has betrayed him and turned against him and is now working with his son in an enemy causes against him. And David is broken and hurt. That's a treachery psalm. There's others. Where did David write this from? How did he feel? Look, if you would, in verse number 8. David said, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. This is where he felt it, that he was. He said, I feel like I'm in a tempest. I'm in a storm. And every which way I turn, it's as though it's against me. It's against me. My friend, my advisor, my counselor, my family, my son. And you may be sitting here tonight and say, well, preacher, I don't have any of those feelings. I don't have any of those emotions. I haven't experienced that, and I'm glad. If you haven't, I'm glad. But now, don't think because you haven't that you can't. David had actually gotten to the place to where he says, you know, I feel like quitting. I just want to go away. I just want to get away, and I don't want to be around anyone, and I just want to be by myself. Now, whether you have had a friend betray you or whether you have had one of your own flesh and blood to rebel against you and turn against you, there's been some things that will happen. Life has its way. Now, listen to me. At this time, David has gotten a little age on him. David is a man of war. David has been a warrior. And he has fought and he has fought and he has fought and had a resolve that he wasn't going to quit. He made God the purpose of his life and he was going to serve God with all of his being. But at this stage in his life, David was growing weary. You know what it is to grow weary? He said, all right, preacher, I never get weary. Well, it's coming now. You can get weary. As a matter of fact, the Bible's over and again just warns us about getting weary in well-doing. And it even tells us, and be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Why? Because God knows that life has its way of taking its toll on us. We have an enemy, brethren. We're in a spiritual warfare. And he's trying to break us. He's trying to break us. He's trying to cause us to bow and to give up. Don't you give up. I pray that every person under the sound of my voice, from the youngest to the oldest, would say, by the grace of God, I'm not going to give up. Amen. You would resolve in your heart that you're going to fight the good fight. That you're going to end your life like God would have you to, like God put it in the resolve of the heart of Paul and say, I've finished my course. I finished, amen. I finished. Finish strong, brethren. Finish strong. Don't be someone laying on the sideline that has been defeated and has given up. Don't become another casualty, another statistic. So what can we do? Life has its way. What can you do? What can I do? Listen to me, young people. You say, now, preacher, I'm not there. See, David was a little older in life, and life had begun to take its toll. And there may be, and I'm not saying there is, but there may be someone here tonight. So, well, this is for the older folks because I'm young and energetic, and I'm ready to go. Don't you think now that life can catch up with you in a hurry? And the enemy can throw some things at you so fast that you will be overwhelmed in your spirit. And you will say, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what to do. I feel like, notice what David said in verse number 7. We'll go back to verse number 6 first. Well, might as well go back to verse number 5. Amen. He said, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. You see that? You ever had the devil to fill your heart with fear? And it's real. It's real. It could be because of a financial situation. It could be because of a family situation or a friendship situation, just like these with David. It could be because of a spiritual. It could be because of a marital situation. It could be because of a number of things. You may be having emotional problems and your heart. Look, he said, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Overwhelmed me. Look what he said in verse number 6. I think all of us have felt this way at one time. I want you to look at this. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. You see that exclamation mark? David said, oh, to get away. Oh, that if I could just be by myself. If I could somehow escape all of these emotions, these overwhelming emotions that are just bringing me to a place to where I feel like I can go no further. If I could just get away from it all. Notice he said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Brethren, that's hurt. That's the emotion of being overwhelmed. That's a person that needs God to do something and do it now. You ever been there? Something tells me I'm speaking to somebody tonight that is. Because when I began to look through these Psalms, I'd already, in my mind, decided, you know what, I think I'm going to go through order. And God said, no, I want you to start right here. And I said, well, I just think I'll go through order. And God said, you're not listening. I want you to start right here. I said, okay. Who would that be tonight? You don't have to raise your hand. Who is God wanting to send a word of comfort to tonight? Maybe even a word of comfort that you're getting ready, that you'll need this next week, tomorrow, a month from now. I don't know, there may be somebody sitting here tonight that you found it difficult to come to church this morning and maybe even to come back tonight because you're tired and you feel overwhelmed. And somehow the things that have transpired in your life, you feel as though that if God doesn't do something, and I'm going to show you in a moment how David felt in his relation with God. When you get to this place, brethren, it's not good. Okay? It's not. But God has something for you now. And that's what I want you to see. See, David said, I just want to get away. I just want to shut out the church. I want to shut out my family. I just want to shut out my friend. I don't even know who my friends are anymore. I just want to shut everything out, and I want to be like a dove, and I want to fly far away. Now, that'd be spiritual for me and have people come up here and say, well, I've never felt that way, but I can't stand up here and tell you I've never felt that way. There's been times that I just wanted to get away. I just felt like I need to be alone. I need God to show himself to me. I need God to show up and do something. I just need that reassurance that God is there and he's listening. You know what I'm talking about? It's real. And we can act all spiritual and say, well, you know, I'm this and I'm that and I'm up here and I'm always on a spiritual high, and that's great if you are, but listen to me. I don't think it's real. Here's a man after God's own heart who faced his situation squarely. And God said, I want you to write a song about it, son. Because there's going to be people throughout the eons of time who's going to be able to take your experience and use it to find comfort. Look at what he said in verse number 7. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I just want to be alone. I'm so burdened down. Seems like God is so far away and heaven's brass. Those that I thought were my friends have turned out to be my enemies, and those that were my family have turned out to be something less than what I desired them to be and God desired them to be. They've betrayed me. They've rebelled against me. And if that's not bad enough, look in verse number 1. David said, and God seemingly is not hearing me. Verse number 1, give ear to my prayer. Oh, God. There's an old Puritan writer that I love to read after. And he said, when you get the O in prayer, things are going to pick up. You want to know when a man's soul gets desperate. You want to know when a person really needs God to show up. When you get the old back in the prayer. Sometimes we get up and it's almost like we have our prayers memorized, or we just pray that same old, you know, we've got that lingo down, right? We've got that prayer lingo down and we know what to say and just how to say it and how to fill in this and fill in that. And in our prayer, here's a man who said, oh God, I need you to hear my prayer. Look at what he said. And hide not thyself from my supplication. God, where are you? God, I need you to do something. God, as though you're not listening, you're not hearing. God, I just need a sign. I need you to do something to reassure me that you're hearing my prayer. You ever been there? This is real now. This is real. I'd love to stand up here and tell you that life is never this way. And so for some of you young folks, you may be thinking, man, what's God, the preacher, what's he saying? I'm saying that life can be this way. It can. This friend, listen, this old world is no friend of grace. And the enemy is out in every way he can to find an opening, to find a chink in your armor, to find an entrance. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, give no place to the devil. He is constantly firing his fiery darts, trying to find a way to penetrate the armor and to bring you down. Here's a man who's been hit. He's weakened. And he's praying, and he said, God, would you please just not hide thyself from me? You feel like God's hiding from you? Do you? You say, I don't feel that way now. Well, that's not what I'm asking. Have you ever felt that way? Look at verse number 2. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. When I began to study this out, I seen where this is very compatible to when over in the book of Romans where it talks about making utterances with groanings in our prayer, to where we can't even put our need in words. Our need is so deep and so inconceivable, we don't even know how to word it. We don't even know how to put it in words to God. God, I don't even know how to tell you what's wrong with me. There's something wrong, and God, I know only you can fix it. All right? This man's in trouble. This man doesn't get any help. It's not going to end well. But I'm glad help's on the way. Amen. I'm glad that, as we shall see in a moment, God was working behind the scenes. There's something I don't have time to go into it tonight. I won't. I don't want you to think that David just sit down. And so sometimes we're guilty of doing this. When we get ourselves in these situations, or when we get in these situations, we don't always have to get ourselves in these situations. Sometimes we just get in them. You see, God is providential. God is sovereign. And God allows things to bring out the good in us, to bring out a stronger faith and to increase our faith. And when this was happening in David's life, David didn't just sit back and say, God, now do something. David had a plan of his own. And David was doing some things and then saying, God, I want you to take the things that I have done and I want you to use them as you see fit. So here's a great lesson. When you're going through a difficult time, a time similar to this, don't just think that's the time to back off. Oh yeah, you feel like if you just had the wings of a dove, you'd fly away and do nothing. You feel like I just want to be alone. But David never gave up. He realized, I have got to go on. Quitting is not an option. I like what Dr. Thompson said. He said, after 69 years, he said, we never once considered divorce. My pastor told Sharon and I when we got married, he said, you're getting ready to walk in the front door of marriage. Shut the back door of divorce and bolt it and never try to get it open. We ought to do that on some things in life. Amen. You walk in a door, you ought to bolt that back door. I mean, bolt it. Padlock it. And never consider going out it. It ought to be that way with serving God. You ought to say, God, by your grace, I'm not going to quit. I may have to crawl and I may have to push, but I'm not going to quit by your grace, God. And I believe that's where David was. Now, if you'll look in this psalm, David uttered a prayer here in verse number 9. He said, destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof, mischief also and sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. David begins to talk about how that since Absalom came and caused this insurrection and how things have turned up. I got to be honest with you, when I was studying for this a couple of weeks ago and in preparation for a series of messages on these Psalms and the different areas and places that they're written, I thought about Charlottesville. And I thought about cities in our in our country. Anarchy. And there's just so much vile and wickedness, and there's so much people just going out and doing what they want to do. And I thought, what are we as Christians to do? And God said, you just keep doing what you're doing. That's what you're to do. Keep preaching the word. Keep living the Christian life. Amen. Keep going to church. Keep passing out tracts. Keep praying. Keep witnessing. Keep reading the Bible. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't let that cause you to lose your focus. Don't get caught up in all that. You say, I'm going to go on Facebook and straighten everybody out. Yeah, I know. I'm going to get on Twitter and set some people straight. Yeah, I know. What you need to do is get you a pocket full of tracts and go out and change some lives. You want to change the world around you? Change the people that live in it. Give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus changes lives. And when people's lives get changed, environment gets changed. Amen. So I just want to do something for America, preacher. Okay, get you a pocket full of tracts, and tomorrow, hand them out. And tell some people about Jesus. You want to change our country? Do it one soul at a time. You tell some people about Jesus Christ. It changed you, didn't it? It changed me, didn't it? It changed us, hasn't it? It'll change them too. Amen. Well, we take away the grace of God from us, and this room's full of nothing but a bunch of drunken, doping, harlot, immoral, liberal. Huh? But look what we are by the grace of God. That doesn't make us anything special. Don't you misunderstand me, but I'm telling you, Jesus changes lives. Go out and get some people saved. You won't have to worry about them wanting to tear down a monument. You won't have to worry about them marching and stirring up strife and trying to loot and take things that don't belong to them. Man saved, he want to get a job, work for a living. Say amen now. Amen. Why? Because a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. This book taught me that. Yeah. This book teaches people how to live their life in harmony with God and man. Now here's a man that was in a bad place. Let me give you a couple of thoughts and I'm going to be through here. This is a great treachery psalm. What can we do, preacher? Let's look at it just a little bit. Here's a man in verse number 1 and 2. He's in a bad way. I've shown you that way. He's prayed. And essentially what he's telling us, that it just seems like heaven's closed. He knocked on heaven's door and heaven's closed, and it feels like that God's not listening. He's alone and he doesn't know what to do. And he said, God, I'm alone. And he said, I want to get away from this, and I want to be alone, but God, I don't want to be alone without you. Isn't that something? He said that I could be like a dove and get away in verse number 6. And in verse number 7, he said that I could get off and just be in the wilderness. I just want to be alone from people. But if you'll read verse 1 and 2, he didn't want to be alone from God. He said, God, I need you. And I need you to do something. So what does God do? Well, let's look at it. After David had prayed and said, God, I want you to do some things, and write these scriptures down. 1 Samuel 16 and 17. Go home and read what David did. It's excellent. Excellent material. 2 Samuel 16 and 17. David, instead of just praying and saying, okay, God, take care of it, he got him a man named Hushai. You know who Hushai is? He was an agent. You like secret agent man? You'll like Hushai. Amen. Well, Hushai, David sent him over to the camp of Absalom. And he went over there as a spy. You can read this in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and 17. And he went over there as a spy. And he posed as and Absalom said, what are you doing over here? And he said, well, you know, he said, man, you're the man. I'm over here with you. The people have backed you. And he said, now here I am. And he said, I'm come to your side. And he said, okay. And so eventually, he called Ahithophel, the man that betrayed David. Absalom called him in and said, give me some counsel. And he said, all right, here's the counsel. I think why David's weak, you ought to go take him out and wipe him out. He said, okay, I'll consider that. He said, you know, I know that Hushai is a counselor also. I think I'm going to hear what his counsel is. Now, why do you think Absalom had that in his heart? Because David's over here praying and had sent him over there. Amen? Look at what he said in verse number 9. He said, deliver him, Lord. Amen. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. I have seen violence. God, work in this situation. But now I'm going to do my part too. I'm just going to sit back. God, I'm going to do what I can, and I'm going to expect you to do what I cannot do. Now, this is a great lesson I learned in life from a great spiritual man that God put in the path of my life. Son, you do what you can, and God will do what you cannot. And that's a great principle to live by. So often we sit back and we just say, God, take care of it. Did you know God expects us to do some things? He does. There's human responsibility involved here. And so David sent this man Hushai over, and he went over. And if you'll read in 2 Samuel chapter 16 and 17, you'll find where he called Absalom, called him in and said, you know what? I don't know why, but I just feel like I ought to ask you for some counsel. I'll tell you why. Because there's a man of God over here praying, saying, God, forth the plan. Ahithophel gave him counsel and said, take him out. He's weak. And Hushai the spy said, I think you ought to wait. I think you ought to wait, and here's why. And he gave him the reason why you ought to wait. He said, people will think, you know, this and that. And, you know, you got to remember now, your dad is a man of war. He's a warrior. And he's not going to go down without a fight. I think you ought to wait. Now, what Hushai was really doing was he was getting, biding time for David to regroup. But God worked in that situation. Brethren, can I tell you, God's at work in your life whether you see it or not. See, David couldn't see this happening, but he was praying for it. Now, here's a great principle to learn from this. There are times when we feel like that God's not listening and God's not doing things, and we wonder, what is God doing? God's doing things you don't know about. God's doing things I don't know about. See, God is a God of activity. If there's one thing I've learned in my Christian experience, God is a God of activity. God's at work whether I see him at work or not. And so please, please remember that principle. Now I want to close with this. So we get down in verse number 16, and here's what David said. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. David said, I have trusted God and trusted God, and I've called on God, and I'm going to keep calling on him. He said, actually, I'm going to set up some special times of prayer. Look at what he said in verse number 17. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, in verse number 1, David was saying, God, I don't think you're listening. But now something happened as David began to write this song. The Spirit of God no doubt reminded David, now you know God's listening to you. You know God's at work in your life. You know, sometimes it just does us good to reflect back on what God has done for us, doesn't it? It just reminds us of where God has found us and what God has done for us in the past. And somehow, as David began to write this psalm, the Spirit of God began to move in his heart. And David said, you know what? I'm not going to quit praying. Actually, I'm going to set up some special seasons of prayer in the evening and at morning and at noon. And I'm going to pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, that's unlike what he said in verse 1 and 2. Now, you've got to remember, don't you ever let the devil, don't you ever let anyone tell you that if you are God's child, if you're saved, God will hear your prayer. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, God will not hear your prayer, but I tell you what he will do. He'll let you know. I'm not going to hear your prayer until you confess your sin. And when you confess your sin, Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he said, I'm going to pray. Then look at verse 18. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. And there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now here's the key verse of this treachery psalm. You've got a burden. There's three things that I find in the Bible that we ought to do with the burden. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2 says that we ought to bear one another's burdens. That means we ought to share burdens. And sometimes God wants us to share burdens, right? Is that what the Bible says? Bear one another's burdens. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Well, to share your burden. So I don't want to talk to anybody about it. Well, you better get used to telling some people and confiding in some people. Find you someone that you can share some things with and say, brother, I've got a need, or sister, I've got a need in my heart if you're a lady, and I want you to pray with me about this matter. Bear ye one another's burdens. If someone doesn't come to you, there's nothing wrong. If I were to walk up to Brother Eddie and I were to put my arm around Brother Eddie and say, Brother Eddie, there seems like there's something troubling you, brother. And I love you. I'm your brother in Christ. And I want to know what I can do to help you. That shouldn't offend that brother. That wouldn't offend him at all. And it shouldn't offend you if somebody come and put their arm around you and ask you the same thing. You should appreciate that. You should appreciate that someone cares enough to notice. That they care enough to fulfill the law of Christ by coming to you and saying, I will help bear that burden. What can I do? Can I pray with you? Can I share some scripture with you? What can I do? Bear one another's burdens. Then the Bible says we're to bear our own burdens. So we're not only to share our burdens, we're to shoulder our burdens. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 4 and 5 says, well, to bear our own burden. There's just some burdens that only ourselves can deal with, right? Right? The Bible teaches this. But now here it says, shed your burden. Look at what he says here. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Have you done that? I believe God is teaching David something here. David, don't try to do it yourself now, son. You're a man of war. You have won many victories. You're a wise man. And you've overcome much in the kingdom. But don't let that cause you to live life in the flesh and to fight your own battles. Remember when you were young and you faced the giant in the days of your youth? You declared something that you've forgotten, David, and that is the battle was the Lord's. Let God fight your battles. Sometimes we that are a little older in the faith, if we're not careful, we'll think, well, now I know enough, and now I'm experienced enough, and now I'm accomplished enough to where I can handle this. No, you can't. No, you can't. I can do this. No, you can't. Not without God's help. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Look at what it says. And he shall sustain. Look at that next word. It's not it. God's not going to sustain your burden. He's going to sustain you. And there's a big difference. See, some of us just want God, and David was there, right? He said, I just want it to go away. I just want to go away. I just want my burden to go away. And I just want it all to end, and I just want things to get back to normal. Right? I mean, we're that way. Yeah? Come on now. I just want to get back to normal. And here's what God said, David, I've got something. There's a purpose I'm allowing this, David. And I'm not going to sustain your burden, but I tell you what I will do. The word sustain there means to comfort. It means to carry. It means to aid. It means to assist. I'm going to help you. I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to strengthen you in this burden. So that when you come on the backside of this, you'll be a better man. You'll be a better lady. You'll be a better Christian. You will be better for the burden. And so he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Peter put it this way, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So burdens can be shared, bear you one another's burdens. They can be shouldered, bear your own burden. Or they can be shed. Just cast it on the Lord. Let God deal with it. You say, well, preacher, I can't do that. Well, sure you can. God's commandments come with God's enablements. Yes, you can. Cast them on the Lord. And let God deal with it. And when you do, God has promised this. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. In other words, God will fit you to where you will never quit. You will never quit. All right? Now, God can use a lot of things. I've seen it in my life. You've seen it in your life. But there's one thing God will not use. A quitter. He can't. You've quit. Don't you quit. Don't quit. You stay in the fight. You fight the good fight of faith. There's too much at stake. Life is too short. Eternity's long. And there's a generation of people that need to see that God is real. I can't quit. And don't you quit. And I felt like it many times. You say, preacher, you ever feel like quitting? Yeah. Yeah, I felt like quitting before. I sure have. There's been times that my wife and I just get out of bed and get beside our bed and pray and cry out to God. God. God, help us. Satan would try to fill our hearts with fear and try to make us think that all manner of things. It's real, brethren. It's real. We have to pray and get God's help. We have to claim His word and we have to cast our burden on the Lord. And God has proven Himself faithful that He will sustain us. And He has caused us in verse number 22 that we would not be moved. The last part of verse 23 says, I will trust in Thee. You know those sinners now, they think they're plotting against us and all. David said, God made it real to David. He said, they're going to live about half a life. You see that? That's what he said. They're laughing and mocking and scorning. You can read in here where David said, you know what, God, I pray they go to hell. Now listen, you say, you ought not pray that. I didn't say you ought to pray that. I'm telling you what David prayed. Read the psalm. You say, I ought to buckle my seatbelt. Well, you should if you're going to read that. Yeah. By the way, just so you know, Ahithophel committed suicide about 2 months after this. Absalom got his hair caught in a tree. Joab took him out. So I'm not suggesting you pray for your enemies this way, but I'm telling you something. You be careful about messing with God's man. Amen. Be careful about messing with God's people. Right? You say, I'm going to make fun of somebody. I'm going to jeer and mock a Christian. You be careful now. You be cautious. God has turned the bear loose on children for doing such things like that. Yeah. So be cautious. Understand what this book teaches and how God protects His own and God has a purpose for some things. Well, here's a good treachery song. How about it tonight? There's someone you're just feeling a little low. Maybe you feel weary and tired. Maybe some things have stacked up against you and it just seems like that if it could go wrong, it has gone wrong. And you just wonder, where is this coming from and what can I do? Well, in all that has been said, I can assure you, if you will cast your burden, and you can, upon the Lord, He will sustain thee. And He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. Let's stand to our feet.